Good morning, church. Good morning, church. How are you guys doing today? My name is Gordon. This is my girlfriend, Ashley. Welcome to Campus Sunday. Today we're just going to be talking about what it means to have a transformative heart. Just give me one second, guys. Bear with me. I want to look at an example in the Bible of a man that transformed his heart. And the first one that came to mind to me was David. Because although we all know who David is, maybe we've heard of him. He was the king of Israel. He was the king of God's people, the leader. And as a leader of this nation, he was in a position to change the entire world around him. You know, he was a very influential man. But even though he had this great position of power, he was still morally corrupt in some ways. And even though God had blessed him and given him this position of power, he still hadn't changed in a lot of areas that he needed to repent in. I want to look at this one example in 2 Samuel 11, and you could write books about this scripture, but I'm not going to look at the entire scripture in depth, but I really just want to look at David's response to his sin. So we're going to start in 2 Samuel 11 in verse 2, and we're just going to kind of skip through it. I'm not going to read the entire two chapters, but you guys with me? All right, in verse 2 it says, "One evening David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of a palace. From the roof he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, 'She is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite.' Then David sent his messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. Then she went back home." So, of course, the story doesn't end there. It says the woman conceived and sent word to David saying, "I'm pregnant." So now things are not looking too good for him. David continues, instead of acknowledging anything at that point, he continues to have his bodyguard, Uriah the Hittite, who is his friend. He sends for him, tries to trick him into spending some time with his wife. Uriah isn't in the mood or whatever reason. And then after that, David puts him on the front lines to be killed. When Uriah dies, David then takes his wife to be his own wife. And he just moves on with life from there. So it's actually like David pretty much gets away with it. But he forgets that, you know, God is looking at everything he does. I want to look at something in the next chapter, in chapter 12. God uses David's good friend, Nathan the prophet, to go to him. And it says in verse 7 to 9, "Nathan said to David, 'You are the man. This is what the Lord says. The Lord, the God of Israel, says, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house to you, and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you all Israel and Judah, and if all this had been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with a sword and took his wife to be your own.'" So Nathan is just straightforward with it, comes at him. David's response in verse 13, David says to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." He didn't, at that point, it was done with the excuses. He was done hiding. He knew he had sinned. Now, I just wanted to give you the scripture to give you guys some context, but what I really want to look at is this is what David says to Nathan, and this is all we really have. He says, "I sinned against the Lord." But David then goes, and I guess at some point during his quiet time or whatever, he writes a psalm to the Lord, Psalm 51. And I want to kind of look at that when we talk about what it takes to transform a heart. So if you guys would just turn with me to Psalm 51. So at this point, you know, David's, he's killed his best friend, he's taken his wife, and God's upset with him. So I just want to look at this real quick, because I think when we think about changing ourselves, it's sometimes hard to put it in perspective. Like, I want to change, but how? So I want to really follow David's example with this. He starts out by saying in verse 1, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." So he starts out, he asks God for forgiveness. That's the first step. He says, "God, I've sinned. I did what was wrong. I need to be changed." He said, he recognizes that God is the only one that's able to cleanse. He says, "Wash me from iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin." It continues in verse 3, "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. And you only have I sinned. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge." And I looked at the scripture, "Against you only I have sinned." Why is David saying that he only sinned against God? I mean, he killed his friend. What about Uriah? What about Bathsheba? What about all of them? But David didn't get confused here between sinning against God and sinning with people. And I think he didn't get confused about who he was trying to please. You know, he wasn't worried so much about how he stood among men right now. Right now he realized that he had hurt God. And I think sometimes we forget, because of God's forgiveness we talk about so much, we forget that God has feelings. You know, God can be hurt. He says to God in verse 10, he says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." And this scripture I use for myself so often, because when I find myself in sin, it's like, I want to do the right thing, but my heart isn't right. And David says, first off, "God, I sinned. You're the one that can forgive me, and you're the one that can change me." He asked God to create the pure heart in him. And when we think about changing ourselves, it always has to start first with God changing us. You know, only God is strong enough to do that, because at the end of the day, we're too weak to change. We're too deluded. So he continues in 13. He says, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you." And in 15, "Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise." So David is not just asking for things. He's saying, as a response to your loving kindness, I'm going to tell others about you. I'm going to tell others, you know, how great you are. I'm going to tell them how they can change and how God wants them to change. And he says in verse 16, "You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, God, you will not despise." And I think David was years ahead of his time, because you look at the Israelites back then, they were all about sacrificing animals, you know, sacrificing bulls and lambs. And David, he knew that that wasn't it. He knew that killing an animal couldn't make up for his sin if he didn't change. And he told God right then and there, "The sacrifice you want is a broken and contrite heart. The sacrifice you want is my humility." And then again, he continues. He says, "May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem," in verse 18. And it's basically he's saying, "God, I don't want you to change me just so that I have a better life. You know, I don't want you to change me just so that I can be free from sin and I won't feel guilty about killing my friend, my bodyguard, or taking his wife. You know, it's not just for that reason. He wants God to change him so that Zion can be prospered and so the world around him can change. He wants God to change him so that he can build up the walls of Jerusalem, so God can build up his kingdom. And we have to look at change the same way when we want to change the world. I mean, I think we can all agree that the world is pretty crazy right now, and there's a lot of social turmoil. But as much as David was in the power to change the things around him, I mean, there was all types of stuff going on in Israel. They were being constantly invaded, constantly at war, you know, drama in his own family. If he wasn't morally right, if he wasn't right with God, He wasn't going to be able to do that stuff in the right way. He wasn't going to be able to change the world. So I wanted just to look at this and just say, when we transform our hearts and we try to, when we want to change the world around us, we got to transform our hearts. You know, we got to transform the way we are. And David approached it step by step by acknowledging his sin, by asking God to change him, and by professing what God did to others. So I want to just leave you guys with that. And also I want to introduce my good friend Ashley, my girlfriend. And she's going to come up here and share about, you know, how God has transformed her heart from being in a place like David. Because David is not all that bad, right? He's a very spiritual guy. I mean, he was leading God's people. But he needed a lot of work. And Ashley's going to share now. Thank you.
So I'm actually going to read from what I wrote. So I, like David, considered myself holy and righteous before God for the majority of my upbringing. I was raised amongst two very devoted grandmothers, which I'm grateful for, and attended church not only Sundays, but sometimes Saturdays as well. I classified myself as Christian and agreed with everything that was preached to me on Sundays and Saturdays as well. I was so self-righteous that in my relationships, I would not hesitate to preach right from wrong, but had never picked up the Bible on my own. I would brag about my spirituality, but not hold back a night of drunkenness with friends. I, like David in Samuel 2, like Gordon shared, was consumed by my own selfish desires and did not see my sin before me. My first year of college, I was 18 years old. I had that front perfected to the T, just knew how to, you know, put up a front and show or look to others that I was, you know, spiritual or Christian. I was your typical Christian good girl, tried to do good, who seemed to have everything put together on the outside. I did not hesitate to keep a smile going on all day and then break down in tears to myself at night because I knew something was wrong or something was missing from my so-called perfect life. Even while I studied the Bible, I struggled for months after I was introduced and started learning more about God. I struggled for months because I wanted to cover up my imperfections and my sin. I was afraid of the real me being exposed to those around me. My family, my upbringing, church, even the women around me who were trying to help me couldn't change that. It wasn't until God broke me and allowed me to see that being good, kind, nice, a churchgoer, it wasn't enough. The way I came to this brokenness was through time alone with God, begging him to change my heart, for him to help me be cut to the heart like I would see the disciples in Acts 2. I would pray like, God, I really want that heart, and I realized that's what was missing. I don't have that. It wasn't until after this that God allowed me to see my deceitful thoughts, ungodly relationships, the deep insecurity that I had within me that only I knew about, that it was separating me from him, and that the change needed to start from within, not from the good things that I was doing on the outside. Although the outward sins, well, those particular outward sins aren't part of my life at the right anymore, I still need to constantly remember and ask God to help me see when I'm being self-reliant, when I'm being judgmental or even envious, angry, impatient, and selfish. I can easily fall back into the trap of doing, kind of like making sure I'm at every meeting, more so than making sure I have every single day a great time with God. Or even, you know, getting through the busyness of life and easily forgetting, like, have I looked at my week and see where I've fallen, where I've sinned towards God? God showed me that what he truly wants is my broken and contrite heart, like the scripture Gordon shared. Not only my deeds, like it says in Psalm 51. Although my sin is very different 6 years later, I still need that reminder from stories like David, who was a man after God's own heart, but he still fell into sin. Because of God's grace and his kindness, he helped me and helped me see my sin and gave me and still gives me the chance to repent from within. Like David, I came from a place of feeling really spiritual and holy on the outside, but in reality I was just as sinful as the people I judged and needed forgiveness just as much as everyone else. This is what changed my world. Then, and still does now, being honest with God about my heart and allowing Him to take that brokenness, expose it, and heal it however He sees best. Thank you.
Great job. So we're gonna meet. That was just we just wanted to share with you guys a little bit about how God can transform our hearts. We're gonna have a 2-minute fellowship break, and we're gonna come back with the second half of the message. So if you just take 2 minutes to greet the person next to you, and then we'll sit back down. Thank you.